Thought Bubble Audio.
Hi, and welcome to Supergirl TV Talk. This is the podcast devoted to the CBS hit series Supergirl. I'm Frank, and with me, as always, is the evil twin of my good friend, Tim.
What did you ever do for me?
Nothing.
You taller than me, bald man.
That's me.
What good are you?
I can podcast.
You're right. You can podcast.
I can watch TV and then talk about it.
You can do that.
Yes.
Now shoot me with that super gun to make me not feel crazy.
Okay.
Pa-doo! Hey, Frank. What's going on? How are you? Hey, yeah. I feel slightly weird. It's almost
you look
like
slightly weird. So that's
well done.
Boom.
Well done.
Roasted.
Well done.
How's it going?
I'm good. I didn't mean any of those things that I said about you.
No, no, no. You meant all of them.
Except that one thing that I said, you are tall, because you are taller than me.
And I am bald.
That is true.
Those things are
don't tell the people, just Frank. They might never trust you again.
What?
This is a world of comic books, man. When are bald people ever to be trusted?
You make a valid point.
Right? James,
yeah.
He's got something fishy going on.
James.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I mean, James is me. Yeah. It's
something fishy. You know,
yeah.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
I think he's hiding something.
Because you got Lex.
Like feelings.
Got,
yeah.
Who else like feelings? He's yeah. Hiding, yeah. Yeah, you're right. All the bald men are pretty untrustworthy.
Yeah. Lex Luthor is really the only one that I really
Obadiah
like.
Stane.
Yeah. Can't trust Obadiah Stane.
Savannah.
Can't trust Dr. Savannah. I know.
Yeah.
So many, right?
So many. Red Skull.
Red Skull. I'm telling you. The comics universe is not kind to bald people.
Nope. We are discriminated against.
Even Professor X is kind of a jerk.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a good guy, but yes, he is kind of
but
a jerk.
But he is kind of a jerk. If you go back and read those early X-Men comics, Professor Xavier makes some really, really questionable decisions.
Huh. I'm going to have to think about this, how my people are being marginalized in comics.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I really enjoyed this week's Supergirl, and I'm looking forward to talking about that with you in a couple minutes. But before we do, do you want to open up the mailbag?
Yeah,
want to dive what? In there? Oh wow, it's a zipper.
I know it was. It's like it was real.
It,
I know
it's a scary, realistic, really.
Actually, in the future, can you print out all tweets and emails, fold them up, put them in letters, put them in a mailbag, so then we can put it on the table and unzip it and go through the mail?
Yeah.
Can you do all that extra work for me while I do nothing? Thanks so much.
Yeah, sure
yeah.
thing.
Okay.
No problem. We had a few emails about the last episode, and a lot of them are very lengthy. So thank you guys for sending us such great feedback. Jacinda writes us, was it just me or did they step up the fight choreography? I could watch
right?
Hank spar with Alex all day. Yeah, and it was that Lexi's legacy to the director's shooting after her? I guess we'll see. On board with Toyman Jr. and Banshee, shipping Toyshi.
Nice.
Great name, Toyshi.
Great.
Fortress was awesome. It's like the Batcave for Kryptonians. So, you know, get the pod, the just mm-hmm. the ring, the red, maybe some red kryptonite.
Yep, and just like the Batcave, everybody knows where it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely not the Fortress of, hey, come on over.
Yeah.
It's open. Yeah.
She did say Indigo's costume, not a fan. In the comics, it looks totally Brainiac appropriate. In real life, it looks 80s superhero TV spandex. But still excited to see Brainiac in the story. Acting was on point. They all gave me the feels. Alex had me tearing up with her confession about who killed who there. So thank you, Jacinda.
Who killed whom?
You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
We've got a good email here from July. Not Julie. July.
I believed you the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she says, first of all, episode was awesome. Hard to tell which one will be the best because every new episode is even better than the last. You've got, you know, it's kind of, the last one was kind of a win episode because of all the like, hey, we need you to come and do stuff and be better at technology than our people. So it was kind of a, you know, kind of a win
Let
episode.
The tradition continue.
Yeah, exactly. DEO just can't do it. The dynamic of Kara working solo and DEO working as they used to before Supergirl came in the picture was sort of refreshing, but she doesn't really want to see it again. Lucy finding out about James and Kara was something we didn't really see coming just quite yet, she says, but you know, we'll see what. Well, I don't think James makes the first move, but he should be. Well, we found out what happened there. Womp womp. Finally, Anon creeps me the hell out about what he's planning. Definitely, he'll be a lot worse without Astra around. Can't wait for the next episode. Thanks for reading this. Well, thank you. Yeah, those are some of the highlights of our email bag. You guys, thank you so much for all your writing in. We get so many emails. We can't read them all on the show, but we do read them all. So thank you for doing that. Keep it coming. We love it. Actually, I do want to read one more here. This comes from Pat from Rhode Island. He says, excellent.
Woo, New England.
Yeah, listen, excellent. Keep it up. I am 68 years old and love this show, Pat.
That's awesome.
So thank you, Pat. We appreciate that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Presumably a Superman fan for some time and still watching the shows. So thank you for writing us. Thank you for listening. And thank you for watching the show and representing great Superman fans everywhere.
Of all generations.
Of all generations, yeah. I wonder if you were a George Reeves fan like I am. Anyway, thank you for writing us in, all of you guys. SupergirlTVTalk@gmail.com. And keep those letters coming. But before we dive into this episode, let's
spring.
Spring forward, jump forward, spring ahead like the clocks just did this week.
I was doing like a diving board, like spring.
Yeah, I know. Like a splash.
I don't know why this I don't know why this is the onomatopoeia.
I don't know why we're swimming.
I don't. Well, you said dive. Never mind.
I know, I'm a jerk.
It's raining outside. That's why we're swimming.
Oh yeah, we are. Yeah, you're right.
That's why.
We're swimming in emails. But before we do talk about the episode, let's talk about Supergirl.tv, the great source for all Supergirl news and images and videos and stories and everything that is happening with the show. It's the best way to keep track. You know, they were at Paley Fest earlier this past weekend, and they brought great live coverage of the whole event. The whole panel for Supergirl, they are just always on top of it. You can always know what's happening the next episode, the next few episodes. If you don't want to see spoilers, that's fine. If you want to see the next trailer, the next promo images from upcoming episodes, it's all there. This is the place to see it all. It's by fans. It's for fans. It's ad free. You can find them on Twitter as well, Supergirl TV site, and get all the updates, wherever you are, whenever you want. We love them. We go to them every week, and that's where we get all our updates that go up on our various accounts. So thank you so much to Supergirl.tv for sponsoring Supergirl TV Talk. You make this podcast possible. So blame them.
yeah.
So cracking open your little red book.
Yeah. I would like to point out that the way that I write in this little red book, after my pages, that's right, you heard me, pages, on Supergirl, I am halfway through writing in this book.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did you start this book with Supergirl?
I started with Supergirl. Yeah.
Wow. You're halfway through your little red book.
I'm halfway through my little red book.
And we're more than halfway through the season, so that's fine. We'll run out this season, but we'll have to get you another book for next season.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a great little...
A new book per season.
Yeah. That's a cool...
Well, the way that I'm doing it is I'm writing on one side of the page only, not both sides.
Oh,
and
I see.
So then I can flip it over and then write on the other
way.
Side. Mm-hmm. So it wastes no space and the writing looks good on both sides.
That's very clever.
I am mildly clever person.
Mildly.
But this episode was very clever, titled episode 16... Title Falling. And appearing on Pi Day. So,
yes, it did.
Yes, it did. Appeared on Pi Day.
Yes.
And it fell just like all the numbers from Pi, right? Because that's what happens. Or like Pi when it falls out of a window.
Oh, that's sad.
Mm-hmm. It is. This episode was directed by Larry Tang.
Yes, it was.
Which was an excellent episode.
Twas.
Really, was an excellent episode. We start the episode with the talk, right?
Yes.
With the cast... Or the hosts, whatever you want to call them, of the talk.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was synergy.
Yes, corporate synergy.
Corporate synergy.
Yeah.
Jack Donaghy.
Yeah,
you know.
Yes.
Synergy. Six Sigma. You know, like that's all I thought of when it was on. Like I'm listening to Cat talk, but the whole time I'm like, yeah.
Way to go, CBS.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Just like turn. And now a word from our sponsor, Subway.
Yeah.
I do love Subway, don't you? And then cut to commercial for Subway, you know?
I did love that Aisha Tyler has now been on Supergirl. That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I like that. I liked the whole thing. I liked the whole setup. Because younger viewers who don't even know what the talk is, like it's just, to them, it's just another talk show.
Right.
But this is a real world connection, I guess. Mm. Like if this was happening in the real world, somebody like Cat Grant would go on the talk and they would talk about stuff like this. I really enjoyed that. And I liked what she had to say. Cat says nice things. This episode really bookended nice things said by Cat Grant. So, which was cool. We saw Supergirl with some kids. What'd you think about that?
I actually liked that. You're not giving me a look like you liked that.
No, I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. I didn't mean to give you a weird look.
I was I have a weird resting face,
apparently.
I liked it a lot. It reminded me very much of some Superman type stuff, and it was very much in character for Supergirl to, you know, to be sort of like, hey, what's your name? What's, you know, like, hey, well, I think she looks great. Like, I think that stuff was awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
Building up women, not tearing them down.
Right, exactly. If that was Superman, do you think Superman would get away with, be like, now come here, kid, let me give you a hug, and then fly away?
I mean, it's Superman, yeah.
Yeah, you think that'd be okay?
Yeah, I don't know if he would do it, but he could get away with it, sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah, Superman's not really the, I'm going to hug you type.
Not much of a hugger. He's more like, be careful climbing trees, son.
Okay, you need to really watch more things besides George Reeves. Like, really? I'm putting it out there.
That's Christopher Reeve.
You really need to watch more things without people whose last name is some variation of the word Reeve.
I don't think that's particularly Reevesian. I think it's just
so official. How are you performing this piece? Reevesian. It's a good Star Trek alien, if anything. You know, that's a great, if they need to throw in an alien that's not from the comics, it's just like Reevesian. They are careful with trees.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Anyway. So I don't know. So we see Wynn kind of like sneak off and do this thing, and you know, or whatever. We don't know where Wynn is, and Carr is like, "I gotta go find Wynn." And the whole time, like, I'm like, "Okay, you're calling his name, and you're looking for him, and all this stuff." And your first reaction isn't go to like your super secret room. That's not a super secret room.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
You know, because that's what I thought was strange. Also, that was a part of Catco that we've never seen before. We've never seen that hallway turn
that
into
is
that
very
hallway
true.
Before.
Yes.
But as she was approaching the door, and I was like, oh, she's going to use the extra vision. That's such a bad idea. Don't do it.
Nope,
she did it. Privacy.
And they did it.
Oh, no, they didn't. They ran out of there with their clothes on way too fast to have done anything.
She was straightening.
They were doing something. Don't get me wrong.
They were doing something.
Yeah, but I don't know. And
the dialogue implied. That's my opinion. That's my feeling on the matter.
Yeah. Do you like that relationship?
Eh.
You know, it's definitely not going to last, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't really care.
You don't care one way or the other?
No.
Interesting.
It's fine. It's cute. It's whatever.
It is what it is.
He's gonna get heartbroken. It's whatever.
Interesting. Yeah, well, for sure. I mean, I guarantee that. But it's nice. It's a weird rebound. Well, I mean, I guess in some respect, maybe all rebounds are weird.
Yeah, but it that is exactly what it is, yeah. And you know, he's just the boy toy. He's just...
That's because he's a toy man, Junior.
Hey! Boy toy man.
Yeah, boy. So Lucy quit her job. Because of James.
Yeah.
I think we all saw that coming, you know, but I also feel it was short-lived, like it was whole thing like, I'm here from JAG, and now I quit JAG, and now I'm working for Catco, and now I'm leaving again.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing, Lucy? If she becomes a supervillain, I do not blame her, because she's kind of yo-yoing all over the place.
That is true. Will she become a supervillain?
She might become some kind of antagonist in in some way.
She doesn't yet know that Kara is Supergirl, though.
No, but I think that it was very deliberate that he attempts to tell her and she breaks it off anyway. So then when they eventually do get together, James and Kara, because it's happening, I'm sure, she, I think, is going to flip majorly when she puts those pieces together, even though there was an attempt to tell her. I think by that point, she'll feel too late or that they're lying or whatever.
Yes.
And that's when we're going to get some, I think we're going to get some major problems down the line.
I think you're right. I think you hit it on the head there. I think she'll think that he was lying, that he was protecting the secret, which he was. but she won't believe that he was trying to tell her.
Yeah. We'll see. So then we flash to the DEO, right? And we're all in, you know, and the senator is all like, you guys are doing, like, great work, but you're not, like, government funded. You don't have a lot of stuff. And to me, I was like, and that's why they have crap employees.
Yes.
Because
they're bootstrapped. Like they just, every all hands on deck. The director needs to be on every
That's
mission.
Why he goes, yeah, because everybody that you see, all 20 of those people, that's it. There are no more.
Yep.
What you see is what you get. And she's like, you know, we could really use some funding. And I'm like, and maybe some good employees.
Yeah.
And And Hank is like, you know, it's not just me, it's my team. And for me, I was like, and he like looks and he's like, my team of these two people.
Both of them.
Alex and Supergirl, one of which who doesn't technically work for us.
And this other lady who always like gives us exposition.
Actually, though, that's what I wrote too. And then that lady, I gotta learn her name. But the lady with the short brown hair,
I don't know if they told her her name.
Yeah,
told her name.
Well, she turns around and says something, and I was like, and a half. It's Hank Henshaw and Two and a Half Girls. Like that's the DEO.
That's a CBS sitcom.
It's
right
a weird
there.
Sitcom. It's like two guys, a girl, in a pizza place. Like three girls, a guy, and a DEO. Like that's basically what we're aiming at here. Do you think that the senator has some feelings for Hank Henshaw?
Yes.
Not knowing that he is an alien.
I mean, they couldn't have made it more clear, right? When she was standing around like, you're doing great work, put my hand on your hand. Like, that was...
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's something there.
What if she's just chummy?
What if she's still a Martian?
What? That's what I thought, too. Mm-hmm. Isn't that weird? I was the whole time, I'm like, what if you're not actually... And I don't know, maybe that's... I don't even know if that's intentional on their part, but like I don't trust that lady, partially because I don't remember the end of that episode and what happened to the White Martian. That's possible. Do you remember what happened?
I don't exactly remember what happened to the White Martian.
Yeah, we're going to get letters.
Someone, yes. So, we can definitely go watch this on the DVR, or we can just wait for... Or Tim can flip through his book.
I'm just going to flip through my book. Why do you think I have
notes.
This?
That is
very... Why do you think I have
Yeah, I don't specifically remember. I do remember that we did see the real senator at the end of that episode, and it was like, oh no, she was being held prisoner this whole time. But I don't know if I believe that this is actually her. It just seemed a little too... It was definitely telegraphed very, very... Not even telegraphed. I mean, it was really out there. Right? They were really making it obvious that we were dealing with some feelings here. Now it's a matter
of... I didn't write what happened at the end of that episode.
I had a feeling you might not have.
I usually don't write details like that.
It's okay. It's okay. We'll watch it. We'll watch it later. Someone will write to us. Please write to us.
The White Martian was not killed. I remember that.
Yes, because
that was the whole thing.
You can't become like one of them.
So I'd imagine that the White Martian is locked up in the DEO somewhere.
Yep.
Maybe I just don't, you know, there's no scene showing that, so I don't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're clear now. We don't need letters. Unless I'm totally wrong, then we need letters. But I'm pretty sure we don't. They're setting it up.
But
it's a setup, I think, just for the end.
Yeah, that very well could be for her to be disappointed by the end of this episode. That could be it, yes.
But I think that there doesn't need to be a romantic entanglement to feel that disappointment. So maybe something else is coming down the line later. But for right now, we're just going to have to wait and see.
Yes, sir.
So we get some red kryptonite. She's like, Supergirl's like, I'm going to go stop that fire because I have, you know, duties.
Tim's a duty.
No, grow up, Niggle Snush. So that's a Futurama reference. You know what I mean? No. There's the, you know, Nibbler, the little, Leo's little pet,
yeah.
And it's the big alien cabal, and they say, you know, go, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, sometimes I fear we are too cute. And one of the other Nibblers turns in and goes, oh, Niggle Snush.
I've never seen that one.
So good. It's so good. I love it. I'm just gonna Niggle Snush is my new... That's gonna be my new word for a couple of days, I think.
Sounds good.
So red kryptonite. She gets cracked face.
Yes,
and she instantly turned... Every thought that she has becomes... She doesn't have a filter. Red kryptonite basically gets rid of the filter.
Yes, yeah. On Smallville, he used to say like he loses his inhibitions. So he just...
That's a good... She'd really lose her inhibitions in the same way, though. Although he was a teenager, so teenage male inhibitions, it might be a lot different than...
Adult female
inhibitions.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
She said what she wanted to say. They kept alluding to, like, there was a grain of truth in everything you said. And that's usually how it's treated, is like, you know, you in your private moments when you're like being a terrible person on your own, you have some thoughts sometimes that are not so great about like other people or whatever, and you're like, oh, that's terrible, I would never say that, like,
right?
I don't really feel that way, but you know, you think it. And in this case, she's not only is she thinking it, she's really thinking it and really saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what, no one... am I the only one who has terrible thoughts when they're alone being a terrible person? Really, just me? Okay, cool, bye.
Yeah, I'm generally a happy
Niggle
person.
Snush.
Yeah. The rallying cry to happiness. Whew, I made it. I was in a real dark place, but then I said Niggle Snush and I felt a lot better.
So much.
Yeah. So Kara, you know, like puts on this new outfit, and you can tell the music happens, like da da,
yeah,
and you know, but it's not that music, but you know what?
That was good.
It was good, right?
That's your idea of like confident, sexy music.
Da 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 da. Actually, did you ever see The Birdcage? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, with Robin Williams, where he's teaching that guy how to dance.
Yes.
And he was like, you know, fussy, 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 or fussy. Madonna. Yeah, but he does. But at the beginning, he goes, da 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 da.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe that's The Birdcage. I might have combined two different things in my head. It's definitely Robin Williams, though.
I remember fussy, 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 Madonna, Madonna.
Yeah, it's hard to forget that. It's hard to get that image out of your
head.
Actually, so Kara shows up in this black sweater dress. I don't like, that's kind of what it looked like to me.
It was, well, there was like the
whatever material it cut off. Yeah. But it felt, even though she was covered, I'm going to point this, that this is a very clear distinction for me. She was very well covered.
Mm-hmm.
It still felt dirty to me. Like I was watching, like,
well,
this
was very form fitting.
Yes. Just didn't feel right.
Very
yeah. But
slimming.
Like, but I mean like the Supergirl outfit is.
That's yeah. Also form fitting. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, she looked great. It was a sexy skirt, a sexy like two piece dress type of thing she was wearing the first time around.
But yeah, she has. Don't get me wrong. She looked great. She pulled off all that stuff.
Sure,
but
sure.
It like felt weird. It just like I didn't like it. And I guess that was off maybe the point. I mean,
yeah.
If I finished the episode and I was like, I wish Red K was the status quo. Then
yeah.
Maybe
that'd be a little...
I have to examine why I watched this show,
right?
Or what like what do I think Supergirl is really about?
Yeah, right. You're missing the point that
yeah.
But yeah, she looked great. But yeah, that says something. Yeah, that you're, because yeah, she normally dresses more, look much more conservative at work, right? She's,
well, she makes a point to mm-hmm. Alex about that mm-hmm. later. You know, like, you know, you always with the stupid sweaters,
yeah,
and,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
all that stuff,
right? And I think part of that is also like not wanting to stand out,
mm.
right? Like when she's just Kara, she doesn't want to stand out too much. She wants to kind of blend in a little bit, so she doesn't dress flashy. She doesn't,
right? She wants to be a little on the. Frumpy's not the right word because she doesn't dress frumpy, but less conspicuous.
Not standing out as much.
Yeah, people are going to turn heads with what she was wearing before.
Yes.
And so, or what she was wearing with the red K. And so, mm-hmm, and that's mm-hmm. what she doesn't want right. at all. What do you think of Kat? What do you think of Kat liking all of that? She noticed, like, oh, this is working for you.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Oh, this will work for now.
Kat dresses very fashionably, right? She always
yeah,
does.
Except that she does not like that necklace. She must
she
rethink
didn't like
it.
The necklace. Just
she
rethink
must
it.
Rethink the necklace.
Must rethink the necklace. I thought that was going to come back in some way or something, but it was just
a throwaway line.
But like, you know, she dresses a certain way, and Siobhan dresses a certain way, right? And
right, yeah, she was kind of dressing like Siobhan.
Yeah, and Kat favors Siobhan, right? And Kat favors people who are.
She
not
did
in this,
fade,
not in this episode, sorry, but I mean in general, right? In the time that we've known Siobhan, she has favored Siobhan.
We've seen her favor Siobhan more in the short time that she's been on the show than we've ever seen her favor Kara.
Bingo.
But they're both, were not really in Kat's favor
in this episode.
Yeah, or in previous episode, because Siobhan was not in her favor last episode.
That's
either.
True. That's true. Yeah, you're right. She fell out of favor last time. Yeah.
Right.
But generally speaking, like, she brought her in. She was like the new golden child, and. Yeah, I think that Kat is superficial in that way. I think that Kat's superficial in that mm-hmm. way. So when Kara started dressing the way that more along the lines of what Kat thinks, you know, someone should dress, she paid attention to her and she favored her a little bit more again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I don't know what that says about Kat.
She's a little shallow.
Yeah, I guess that's,
she can
I
be
guess
a
that's what it is. But see, she throws you because she says these wonderful things at the beginning of the episode. And then, you know, once the cameras are off, she really, you know, she says, you know, this is working for you. You know, this is good.
Yeah.
But, you know, but again, like I said, it was working for her. She looked great. I just didn't, it just didn't feel like Kara. And it,
right.
It was weird.
Yeah.
You know, and every time I say it, I hug my little red notebook.
You
like,
do hug your book. It's true.
Like it's my little security blanket. Okay. So Kara is needed at the DEO because, you know, Alex is busy doing something. So they have to go after Kund, right?
Yeah, which I always pronounce it like Kund. Or Kund.
Yeah.
But they said like Kahund.
There's an apostrophe in the name.
Is there?
I think so.
I never noticed that before.
Maybe there isn't. Maybe I made that up.
I don't think
maybe
there
I
is
just
one.
Wrote it with an apostrophe.
Maybe.
Either way, Kund, however you want to say it. That's a deep DC cut,
it
right?
Is. Yeah,
just like one of those. Like I forgot you were an alien race.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, I liked the makeup too. It was like this. It was pretty good. It had this like bumpy, like Goonies quality to it with an eyepiece. I shouldn't have given you that red K soup. I said it was tomato soup. It was really laced with red K soup. Yeah, it was red K soup. Yeah. That was my bad.
Yeah, well.
Oh, well. So Kara basically takes Gon down like no problem.
Yeah.
You take it down like no problem.
No problem.
And she's, you know, you're not worth my time. I fought Kryptonians. I fought White Martians, sure. You know, and just like, you're not worth my time. And in that moment, I was like, it's not good. Even the effort that she was, it's interesting because like when her inhibitions are gone, even her fighting style is better. Did you notice that?
Way different. It was so much faster, more aggressive.
Yeah. Even like the effort that she was putting into that first fight, she was like, whatever. Like I might as well be reading a book while doing this.
Yeah, kind of.
It was a nothing fight to her.
Yeah.
And so, which I wasn't sure if that's because the Red K or maybe Kund wasn't that,
powerful.
Wasn't that powerful, or I do not know. Yes. Why do you think that all aliens are stronger than humans? Can we just think about that for a second?
Yeah. Why are there no puny aliens who are just like?
Yeah, and the DEO is like, yeah, we can get this. It's not big. Like, why are they always stronger?
That's a really good question because it's scarier that way.
I guess so, but I mean, they're always more intelligent, and they're always stronger and faster, and all these things. And it's like, well, can an alien show up that's slower and stupider? And the DEO is like, yeah, we got this.
But that's sci-fi and pulps have always been that way. It's always been like the thing that came from beyond, from the unknown.
Well, it creates conflict. Like, I understand that. But I kind of would like the DEO to be for Supergirl to be like, I'll come with you. And they're like, no, really, it's unnecessary.
I would like an episode.
You know, like, go back to work. We got this.
I would like an episode to begin with that. Like, remember that episode that began with her fighting that one alien? And she was like, he put up a fight, and Hank's like, actually, it's she. And she goes, huh, respect.
Yes.
Remember that? And it was not like the fight was not part of the episode. It was just like,
yeah,
it was the end of one mission, yep. Right? I would love to see an end of a mission where it's like, wow, so I didn't expect those, Jupiter trolls to be so weak and weird. Like, you know, like,
right,
I would love something funny like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those Jupiter gas giants.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not that gassy.
Nope. They were you. Ew. That's glad we don't have smell-o-vision. That's all I'm saying. And so Kara lets Kun go, and I say there's something rotten in Denmark, you know.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was expecting them to ramp up and have her be like almost kill him or something.
Yeah, but I thought that would have taken it to a weird and dark place. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have been prepared for.
Well, I mean, it was a weird and dark episode in other ways. So like,
yeah.
We'll get there, but I don't know. Oh my god, wait, your red book and your red headphones. Are they made of red? Is this why I'm acting this? Is this why I keep the soup and then the
I don't know what you're talking about. Just keep standing on that red platform, please.
What?
Yep. What is your favorite color? No blue, no yellow.
Ah!
So we go back to the office. This is what I thought was really weird. I think it was the office. So we go back to the office and they're like talking about like, oh, something's not right. It's in the office DO. I'm having a memory blank, but they're talking and they're like, oh, something's not right. And Kara swivels in the chair.
It was a DO.
It was the DO. So she was still in the Supergirl. So, okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So she swivels in the chair and kind of like cocks her head. And I was like, Bond villain? Like
a little bit, yeah.
Like your first, like, you know, the signature move for telling an audience that somebody's evil is to have them swivel in a chair in low light.
Yes, it's true.
Like, you know,
like slowly.
Yeah, just like slowly and then have
Mr. Bond.
Yeah, and just like, oh, Hank, wasn't expecting you.
Yeah. But it was funny how she was like, like, what, who, me? Like, the alien who works at the DEO? Like, wink, wink, I'm not the only alien who works here.
Yeah, except that she's like, I'm not the only alien that works here. By the way, he's an alien.
And then he, like, dismisses the crowd. He's like, oh, never mind, you guys are free to go. Go away.
Go away.
Before she tells you all about me.
Before she tells you my secrets. Not that I have a secret.
I'm a gas giant.
I collect cookie jars. Yeah, that's good.
That's it.
I collect cookie jars. Hank Henshaw, cookie jar collector.
Mm.
So Siobhan has this whole big thing where she's like, you know, like, you know, Supergirl, you know, maybe let this alien go and blah, blah, blah. This could really wreck her. And we've seen Kat not want to wreck people before.
Yes.
Right. We've had a whole episode. Last week was all about her not wanting to. Was that last week?
Yeah, it was last week. Yeah. Well, 2 weeks ago, but last episode.
Last episode, not wanting to let people go and mm-hmm. all that stuff to hurt reputations. And so mm-hmm. she's like, no, we're not running the story, blah, blah, blah. So Siobhan was like, I'm going to send it to Perry White, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to send it there. And that's bad form. She gets fired for that. You know, like you disobeyed the publisher. You were going to send it. You were going to send a news story to another outlet
mm-hmm.
and then like maybe try to pawn a job there and all that stuff. That's really bad form.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
If I was Kat, I would also fire her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least some kind of strict probation or something like that. Or I don't know. What else do you do in the
I don't know, but
world?
You eased off that real fast. I would fire her too. Or maybe not. Maybe just like, you know, time off for good behavior.
I would maybe like make her, you know, go get me a coffee to show her who's really,
you know,
boss.
What? I'd feel so bad about it. I'd probably just promote her.
I would just get the coffee myself and be like, you know what? Just take the day, you know, with pay. You know, you want a vacation? Take a vacation. You know, just get it. Just go away.
You end up overcompensating by being like too nice.
Yeah.
Give her a raise.
That's my managerial style. Yeah. That is actually pretty accurate. Yeah. Just you know, you're probably just really stressed. I'll just give you more money, and then you won't be as stressed anymore. And then everybody will be happy, except for me, who will end up doing all the work. My managerial style. Good thing I'm not a manager, right? Yeah. Oh, thank goodness. So what are your thoughts on the subject of being rather quiet?
This is a villain's origin story, right? Like, we know that Siobhan has...
Her life is crumbling around
mm-hmm.
her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So she tried to take on this job. It wasn't a good fit for her.
Well, I think she put all her eggs in one basket, really. She was like, I'm going to do this and this and this and this. And I was like, oh, child, that's not how life works.
Yeah. She tried to make big moves to propel herself further, faster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of like Icarus, flew too close to the sun and tried to do too much too fast, and it her wings melted and she's falling.
That was a good pull.
Thanks.
Well done.
Thanks.
Yeah. So Kat had these tickets to this club, you know, the famous DJ and blah, blah, blah.
The club.
Yeah, the club. Titled club because television.
Yeah.
And so James and Wynn and Kara go, which is... I like seeing James in a club. I actually would have liked to have seen more. I mean, Wynn in a club. I would have liked to have seen more of that. I just feel like there's a lot of like awkward like white man dancing that we didn't get to see.
We were cheated.
It was cheated,
we
out,
were
of
cheated
awkward
out of awkward
wind.
White man dancing.
Yeah,
yes.
And yeah, and actually, Jeremy Jordan is an excellent dancer. I have seen him dance on stage. He is fantastic.
Yes,
I really wish that I really would have liked to have seen his like weird, like I'm doing it now.
I would have liked to have
nobody
seen.
Nobody can see it except Frank.
I would have, it's pretty bad. That's why I'm changing the subject. I would have liked to have seen, like, some girl hit on him and be like, oh, no, sorry, I have a girlfriend. Like, even though he clearly doesn't. I would have loved to have seen him be like, oh, no.
I'm sorry, I have a colleague at work that I make out with in a closet.
Yeah.
I can't be with you right now.
Like, I think that would have been really funny.
Yeah. Like, missed opportunity. Well, if you want to contact us for good story ideas, after episodes air, contact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good blooper. It'd be a good blooper, too.
Right. So we get this, you know, scandalous scene in which Kara is showing a lot of arm, and I'm uncomfortable with it.
That's what makes you uncomfortable?
She's covered up all the time.
And yet that's...
Even in her Supergirl outfit, she's covered from head to toe. And so, like, it's a lot of skin. What are you doing? It's just, I've never seen it before.
You were being a little weird about this.
Cover it up.
At first, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Now I'm like, no, just her arms are showing.
No, I'm just mad. I know. Just messing with you. Like, I'm just a very protective podcaster.
Apparently, yes.
Yeah. Cover that up. You're a child.
It's your jealousy again. You're like, no one else should be able to see her arms.
Yeah. Elbows.
I was more uncomfortable when she was like grinding on James. That's what made me uncomfortable.
No, see, that's wicked funny because I just wasn't fazed by that at all.
You were too busy like, but her arms though.
Like, yeah, I was not fazed. Although, to be fair, last night I was really trying to do a couple of different things all at the same time
because
it's a busy time of year. So I'm like doing this and writing notes and watching the show. And like every 2 minutes I'm like, wait, what happened? And I would like go back and watch it again and again. It was a really interesting viewing experience last night.
I'll bet. Oh man, yeah. She tries to make a move with James, and he's like, whoa, I'm not ready for this. This is too soon. This is not good.
Good for him for recognizing something's not right with her.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, not taking advantage.
To us, it's fairly obvious, like because we understand, like. We see the red face marks and like all this different stuff. But to them, she's just coming to work one day and she's dressing differently.
Yes.
And she's being not aggressive, but she's like, she's doing what Kat wants her to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not necessarily overly strange, but you know, it's just, it builds and builds because we see how she acts at the DEO, which is, but Wynn and James are not seeing that. And so, you know, we're privy to more information than they are. So good for James for being like, hey, I am not the poor man's Lois Lane. Excuse me.
Right. Yeah.
I'm
the
poor man's Clark Kent.
I think the poor man's Lois Lane was Lucy, I thought.
Oh, that makes way more sense. I was the impression because he's the investigative journalist and the love interest. Like that's how I took it. But
okay.
I think I
meta
read into the line as opposed to
Lois Lane's
Lucy
sister.
Is not as good as Lois.
Right.
Debatable for a lot of people.
Sure. But she was saying like, oh yeah, like the crappy Lane sister.
Yeah. That makes way more sense.
I think that's what it meant.
Oh. Well then the next paragraph I wrote means nothing.
Burn this book.
I'm burning it.
It's useless now.
Nothing. But so anyway, so Cat, we have a Cat versus Supergirl off thing, you know.
Yeah,
where,
Cat fight.
This podcast is over.
Because you
we went 15 and a half episodes without you making that joke.
I don't know. I might have made it before.
Damn, I missed it. Oh, well. All right. Yeah. Podcast back on.
Yay.
For now, on probation. You know what? Just take a vacation. You know, just it's fine. You know, do you want some candy or something? You know, just sit, be
I'll
comfy.
Cook you dinner. It's fine.
I'll cook you dinner. I'll cook you another dinner. I already cooked you dinner. I'll cook you another dinner. It's fine. You know, you don't want a goodie bag to go home? You know what? Take some books while you're at it. You know, be comfy. You want to take a shower? The towel's ready. It's fine. Take a nap. Here's a bed. Whatever you want. You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to piss you off more often.
Yeah. I'm a people pleaser. What do you want? So I thought this altercation was kind of intense. What did you think about it? I'm tired of talking.
The Cat versus the Cat fight. Yeah, well, so she summons Kara and Kara and Supergirl shows up. And it was what you'd expect from them at first until she threw her off the frickin' roof.
That was amazing. Oh, it was amazing. Just poof.
Yeah.
Hey, you thought the sound effects were over.
Hey, no, they're getting better.
They're not.
Who says they don't have much of a budget for this podcast?
My first thought when she like threw off the roof, like I knew she was going to catch her. Like that wasn't a question to me.
Oh yeah.
But my first thought when she jumped her off and like you see there's an extreme up angle of like her falling.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, my God, that building is big.
Yes.
Yeah. I was like,
good God, Lemon.
Good God, it's a lot of 30 Rock in here today. Yeah. But it is very tall. I was like, that's a very tall building. It's taking a long time to get there.
Yeah.
And my second thought is that when the rate and velocity at which she caught her.
Yes.
Physics.
Okay. Yeah.
She'd be dead, right?
So you'd think that she should have broken her neck or something like that.
Yeah.
They do you remember they addressed this in the Supergirl comic not that long ago? I can't remember which issue it was, maybe two or three. But Sterling Gates addressed this where he said she in Kara's own like internal monologue, she goes like, "Oh, I have to, you know, it looks easy, but I have
to." It was
to,
two. She was two. Saving Alex, I think.
Saving Alex,
like that. Yeah.
Yes. And it's like she has to move at the same rate as whatever object she's catching, right?
Oh,
and like
yeah,
do
yeah,
the,
yeah.
almost do the math in her head and be like, okay, they're moving at this speed, then I have to move at that same speed, and then gradually slow down, but gradually slow down in enough time that they don't fall. Like she has to do all of that so that she's not causing whiplash,
mm-hmm.
and then also not like
Wow, catching people while flying is challenging work.
I'm tired just thinking about it.
Good thing I can't fly, because I'd be like, I don't know how to calculate that. Oh, wait, you're dead.
Can't do calculus. Oh.
Yeah. I would not like, oh, she's falling approximately this rate. That's the math problem. That is, like, that's Kara sitting in math class being like, two trains leave the station at the same time.
And it's like, literally.
Two people fall off the building at the same time. What is the rate of velocity at which Supergirl will catch both of them? And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, I can't do
that. It's literally calculus. It's like, what's the rate of change? Like, how quickly do I need to slow down and not cause whiplash, but also save their life still? Like, bah.
Yeah, so you hear that, kids? The SATs are important.
They are. When are we ever going to use this? When you're a superhero.
Hero. So that's when.
Yeah.
When you get superpowers and you fly. That's when.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Sincerely, the College Board.
It's a new marketing career.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, so yeah, they did kind of address that, which I thought was a clever way of addressing it. And it was my understanding there would be no math.
I was under the impression that I was only going to use words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Words.
No numbers. So Wynn and James get called back into the DEO because the DEO. And they didn't get Deputy sticker badges. That's really what I'm...
That's all you really wanted.
I feel like at this point, I'm like, here's your badge. You know, here's your sticker.
Mr. Olson, nice to see you again. Here's your badge.
Yeah, here's your badge. Welcome. Welcome to the DEO. Enjoy your stay. Know who also gets to enjoy their stay at the DEO? Maxwell Lord, who really should start bringing an overnight bag every time he goes there.
I was going to say, he should bring a suitcase.
And he walks in there like, put him in a cell. And he's like, oh, come on. Come on.
I miss this place.
Yeah. I miss this dank cave, you know. I mean,
a dank cave.
I'm Maxwell Lord. I probably could own many caves if I wanted to, but this cave has Alex in it, and I think I still like Alex.
You definitely still
I'm speaking as Maxwell Lord, of course, obviously. Yes. I, as Tim, do like Alex very much.
Yes.
What a great character.
As long as she's not showing her arms.
That would show her arms all she wants. Oh, she wears polo shirts most of the time. Okay. Doesn't bother me.
Hey, listen, before we move on. Let's talk
it
real
was shoulders.
Quick.
She was showing it was shoulders. It's right. Not arms. Yep. Yeah. Right. Get it right. Anyway, what are you talking about before we move on? I'm going to take a break. I'm tired.
Take a break.
I'm going
to
sit down.
Have a sit down. Let's read some comic books. Because this episode is brought to you by InStockTrades.com and DCBService.com. These guys help make the podcast possible by selling comic books on the internet, which is just about the best thing I've ever heard of. You go to InStockTrades, you go to DCB Service. That's where you can get your comics shipped to your door and get 42% off, sometimes even more, and not even have to lift a finger, not even have to go out into the red kryptonite-infested world. You can just get the comics you want shipped straight to your home. There's a great story that we were recommending tonight that is a Supergirl story where we've got a good Supergirl and a bad Supergirl. Very similar to this week's episode. it's a story by Jeff Loeb, one of my favorite writers. And Ian Churchill.
Mine too.
Ian Churchill.
And Sterling Gates. One of his favorites. Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Ian Churchill also draws a great Supergirl.
Spectacular.
It's actually kind of a 90s look to her.
He's a 90s artist.
Yeah.
Unlike some other 90s artists, he evolved with the times, and some didn't, and some comic artists don't evolve with the time. Like their style doesn't change. It's and it becomes stale. His does not. He really was able to catapult himself into the next into the next generation.
Exactly. And you know, Michael Turner did the cover and the covers in between. So as you read this trade paperback, you get little snippets of Michael Turner. Between chapters and everything, which is really, really fun. It's a great, a beautiful, beautiful book and a great story that kind of mirrors this story. And the best part of it is that normally you'd pay $14.99 for this book, but it's only $8.69.
Boom.
Less than $9 for a solid Supergirl story. And it's only an InStock Trades can get that price. So check them out, InStockTrades.com and DCB Service, as in DiscountComicBookService.com. And if you like your digital comics, go to DCBService.com and buy your Comixology or My Digital Comics stuff through there and get 5% back on your next purchase. So win-win. Thanks very much for sponsoring the podcast.
I have one thing to add about that book before we go on. It is the start of Supergirl's ongoing solo series right after her appearance in the Superman-Batman arc. Supergirl. And for those who haven't read that book, but they've seen the DC animated film, Superman, Batman, Apocalypse, this is the story that takes place right after that in the comics. So either way, you know, you've got a lot of ways into the story. You can definitely read it on its own without seeing or reading that story. But if you ever wondered what happened next, this is literally what happened next. This is the next day or thereabouts.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, I thought so. So going back to the DEO, it is learned that Maxwell Lord created this Red Kryptonite like a nonsense character that he is. Why did he create this Red Kryptonite?
He was all like, I was trying to take her down, and I created this thing by accident, and this was so much better than Bizarro. And he's really evil.
Yeah. And
I don't like him.
I like Alex's, like, you know, you're the, like, she's become exactly what you feared she'd become because of you. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, really. This is your fault. You did this to yourself, and now we have to clean up your mess, you arrogant prick.
Mm-hmm.
I added the arrogant prick part.
Yes.
But she was thinking it. You could see it in her eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and John could read it in her head because he's a telepath.
Yeah, he is.
But I mean, like, everyone is all concerned, and he's like, you know, I wasn't, you know, I was kind of interested until, you know, she threw Cat Grant off a roof.
Yeah.
You know, she killed Miss Grant.
Yeah, when
was like, my that was my favorite. That was,
oh, really?
That was my favorite part of the whole episode.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not my favorite part of the whole episode, but certainly my the lightest moment. That was my favorite, just because he escalated it so quickly.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh no, Kara's like not doing well. Wait a minute, she killed Miss Grant? Oh no, my job. Yeah. Oh no, but who will belittle me every day?
Yeah, right.
When my father in jail, I need somebody to tell me I'm terrible. Like, no, I think his father was pretty nice to him, considering he's a murdering sociopath.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, and tried to make him also be a murdering sociopath. Ah, good family memories. So, Kat has to denounce Supergirl because of the reasons.
She feels like she has spent so much time promoting Supergirl, and now she needs to... She has to, like, say, you know what? Like, she's dangerous. Stay away. She doesn't want to feel like she's responsible for promoting Supergirl.
Yeah.
Who's now this dangerous killer.
Right. But she's not a killer. But, I mean, she did get thrown off a roof. So, yeah. If I was Cat Grant, I'd probably also be like, yeah, I'm not too feeling too good about her.
I wouldn't feel... Yeah, I'd be pretty shaken up.
Yeah. Yeah, I would definitely be shaken up, you know, certainly. But it felt rushed... But, I mean, I've never been thrown off a roof by a superpowered being before.
Right.
Yet. That I know of. I don't know. So, I get that. But my saddest part, I think, was that little girl that we saw at the beginning of the episode had a Supergirl No More moment.
Oh, yes. You know, she throws that.
Where she puts the costume in the trash, and it was, you know, Spider-Man No More, you know.
Just tear my heart out.
Yeah, that was soul crushing, because that kid is definitely going to be screwed up the rest of her life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Oh, yeah.
Because not only did she meet her hero and it was everything she hoped for, then her hero wasn't, which might be worse. Because
send your therapy bills to Supergirl, National City.
Boom. I will not. So Kara also belittles Alex, you know, because, you know, Alex goes to see her in her apartment and the door's open, so we still don't know if Alex has a key or not.
Still don't know.
Just saying.
The
saga continues.
Yes.
I doubt the overarching mystery of this show is, does Alex have a key to this apartment or doesn't she? I do not know. And
we may never know.
No, I don't want to know. Like, how many licks does it take to get the center of a Tootsie Pop? I don't know. I don't want to know. I don't care what the owl says. A one, a two, a three. Mm-hmm. That's not right because I'm not an owl. So it does not count. Right. Mm-hmm. More sounds. Thank you. That was not me that time. I thought the belittlement was very heartbreaking, though also came from a very real place. I thought they did a nice job at, like, you could understand every point that she was saying.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't agree with it.
You could understand how someone might feel that way and might have those repressed feelings,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Of, like, you were trying to hold me back because you think I'm prettier than you and because I'm stronger than you and because I'm better than you.
The stupid sweaters and and we're not really family. And, you know, like, all that lashed out anger that maybe she's never... Because, I mean, in flashback episodes, they get along pretty quickly, right?
Yes, they do.
We had that one in episode 5, and they're pretty thick as thieves... not immediately, right, but by the end of the episode, they're like, we're good now. And as far as we know, they've always been like that, really, which is nice. So it's this is a new layer of tension, because even though these things that she said she didn't mean to say them, they have been thoughts that she like had. She has thought them before, and they are in some ways valid and true. And that's something they all need to work on, because as we know, Kara is not so great with her feelings. Like, and Red K really proves that she's not good at expressing her emotions the right way. This is almost like the Red K is a good metaphor for, you know, somebody who keeps everything bottled up inside the Irish way, and then one day it just explodes and all everything yes. comes out and stuff you don't mean to say or mean to do, and it's just all repression.
Yes,
it's a nice way of, it's a nice sci-fi way of looking at that.
Yes, I agree.
Do you think Hank has a crush on the senator as well?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know, actually. I don't. He keeps his feelings pretty hidden, except for when it comes to Alex and Kara.
Yeah, you know, and even sometimes Kara, like
even with Kara, but you know what I mean? Like his loyalty to them because of what he promised Jeremiah Danvers.
Right.
That's really the only time you typically see any emotion from him, and when he talks about his wife and kids, back on Mars. Those are the only times that you really get any emotion out of him. So I don't know. He keeps pretty close to the chest
because he was like, I don't know, and she's like, maybe you should. And he's like, you're right, I should. And I was like, what? Like
that was fast.
Yeah, like show some like backbone, Hank. But it's either like if he refuses her, maybe he won't get that funding that he wants.
True.
Maybe he won't get the funding that he wants, or he does have a crush on her. He's been alone, you know, for so long, and this is someone who's actually showing interest in who he is.
Yeah.
In some weird way.
But maybe he feels like he has to go the Jedi way, you know, and like have no connections, yeah.
Well, we all saw how that worked out for the Jedi. Just saying.
Yeah.
Worked out great.
Yeah, they returned.
Because I've only... Right.
Well, I saw Return of the Jedi. They came back, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was no 30 years of repression or anything like that. Yeah, it's fine.
Kylo Ren what?
What? Loser say what?
What?
So Kara's kind of causing problems in her new super suit.
Yes.
You know,
her like Allura super suit.
Yeah, very Allura.
Or I guess Astra super suit, rather.
In some way, it did kind of feel like she did make that herself, too. I liked it because it was the body tone, but you could tell the S was stitched on differently. It's not like she stitched the S directly in. It was like a patch thing. And this maybe was intentional, maybe not, but to me, that red is like, Kara doesn't really know how to do this. So she like put it on this, like she put it on in a square this way. And I liked it. It was good.
You pay a lot more attention to costumes than I do, so I did not notice that. But you're always a costume, like you notice that stuff way more than I ever do.
Yeah, that's why we make a good team, because I notice things and you notice things, and sometimes they're the same things, and most of the time they're not.
Exactly.
Which creates good dynamics and conversation.
I agree.
Good.
Except you know what I noticed about what you just said?
What? No. So we get, you know, we have the gun, you know, Maxwell Lord, and is like, I'm almost finished this gun that will reverse everything that I've done, and I will be Maxwell Lord in good favor again or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what that Maxwell Lord impression was.
It's kind of Dr. Evil.
Peter Lorre. Yeah.
Peter Lorre.
But anyway, I lost my train of thought, but I found it again right now. Right, the gun. And Kara basically looks like she's at the point where she's just going to kill everybody. Because even when she swoops by, she definitely breaks Alex's arm. No question. Or at least really should have broken Alex's arm.
Yeah, she definitely gave her a pretty serious injury.
Yeah, and can't. And so the only way that, you know, everybody's going to save is Hank's got to come out. Because Hank, when she hit him and he went up against the light post, I was like, if he wasn't the Martian Manhunter, he'd be dead.
Yeah.
No question. And so Alex does this little eye contact like, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to do it.
Right.
And then he takes off all his clothes and reveals himself to be the Martian Manhunter, John Jones, except nobody was
watching. Takes off all his clothes?
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Okay.
He transforms.
Yeah.
I said it weird on purpose,
okay,
Frank.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I have a couple of thoughts on this scene.
Okay, now you have thoughts. Got to talk this whole episode,
I do have thoughts. I have some... Okay, so a couple things. So I think that he could have been less obvious about it to begin with. He could have, like, super sped her away from there, flown her away from there, and no one would have seen that it was him.
Have we established that he has super speed?
Okay, that's a good, maybe he doesn't in this show. Typically he does, but you make a good point. Maybe he doesn't on this show. We don't know that. Mm-hmm. But he still could have flown her out of there.
Does he have super speed?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, I believe you.
Yes. He has super speed. He doesn't typically, like, run, but he can fly super fast.
Oh, yeah. Like,
do you know what I mean?
Like, Wonder Woman typically doesn't run super fast, but she can fly fast. Yeah. She has the speed of Hermes.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I get you.
So it's not, yeah, he's not going to, like, race the Flash or anything, but he can race Superman in flight.
Okay.
So he could have flown her out of there super quick. No one would have seen that it was him. They would think that, like, he was gone too. Well, he could have hid that better. That's number one. Number two, then when he surrenders, mm-hmm. at the end, he's like, I have to transform back now and like surrender. Like, you could have talked your way out of that too. Like, you didn't have to give in. You could have been like, aha, I am some other alien who was pretending to be your boss, Hank Henshaw, who's totally human. And I am just an alien Hank Henshaw you always knew was always Hank Henshaw, but I am an alien now, and I'm going to leave, and the next time you see Hank Henshaw, he will really be Hank Henshaw.
Yeah, that definitely would not work.
I think it would.
You think it would.
That's what happened with the senator. That's exactly what happened with the senator. He could be like, I was holding Hank Henshaw prisoner. You'll find him here. Do you know what I'm saying? That's exactly what happened with the senator. Someone was pretending to be her who was not her.
Yeah, but there were people to corroborate that story. No, I don't think that. I think that would work
same.
For John to be like, "My name is John Jones. I have the same voice as Hank Henshaw, but he'd no mind." That man, Hank Henshaw, who just flew into that light post,
okay.
is who probably would be dead. Who has now disappeared.
He doesn't literally have to make a speech. I'm just saying he could fly away, and the next time they see Henshaw, he could be like, "Oh my God, I was held prisoner."
But there were people in the street taking videos and all that stuff and whatever else, and so people like his team definitely saw him get smacked and go into that thing. So there was, I don't think, a way for his body
to
disappear.
Okay. Yeah. To that point, yes, you're right.
If
about
he was
that.
Like hit off the side of the cliff, like a building or something like that, and he was like, "I was caught by the Martian
man." But no, hold on, no, I take it back. No, I don't agree with you because I'm saying he said if he says like the person you saw that day was never me that day, it was always the alien.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Okay. But then I guess. But then there that Yes.
There are ways that he could have turned himself in.
I agree. I don't think that all of those options ran through his mind in the heat of the moment.
Probably, clearly not.
Maybe he has other motivations. Like, maybe he's tired of running.
Maybe.
You know, like, and he does see the way that Supergirl is treated. Or maybe with her, like, he saw this as his opportunity to be like, maybe people won't hate me now.
That's fine, but none of that was really set up.
No.
It wasn't really set up. That's my issue with it, is that...
On television, you can set it up next episode.
Nope. Setting it up means doing it before.
You can retcon it next episode.
Right. Yeah. So it felt sudden to me that he was so adamant I had to keep this secret, and then he just surrendered like that. They made it... The tone of it was like she forced... In her being evil, she forced him to come out.
So yes and no, but...
And I don't think that he needed to. I didn't feel... needed and necessary. I felt like they decided he should give in. The writers decided he should give in, but I didn't feel like they gave us enough. I didn't feel like they gave us enough necessity.
But Alex does ask him that question. She gives, like, he has the opportunity to fly away. You're totally right.
Yeah.
He does. And what does he do?
He chooses to do that.
No, he winks at her. Yeah. He winks at her.
Okay.
I wrote it down.
Okay.
So the wink... Yeah. To me, when I wrote, John Jones winked. He wunk at her. It's perfect. The John Jones wink. But to me, that I have a plan. Do not worry.
Mm.
Because otherwise, why would he do that? He literally smiled and winked at her.
I did. I have to admit I missed that.
Okay. Well, we can go back and look at it.
Yeah,
later.
I believe you.
Yeah,
I totally
do. No, I know you do. But we can go back and watch it because the fight was awesome. So
it was awesome.
We can go back and watch it. But... but he winks twice in this episode at her, and I wrote it down twice.
Okay, the other one I did catch.
Yeah, but he does it once in his regular form, and then he does it once there, and I think that's an important marker. Okay. That's to me. That is, I have a plan. Do not worry. Mm. This has been in the making since episode 7. You know, I got this. You know, so I don't know.
I hope so. It just didn't feel quite earned to me, but that's my opinion.
I don't disagree with quite earning it, but I also always recognize television restrictions, and you know, like it's you know, you can't bleed this out over this many issues or whatever. It's like this is episode 16. We only have 3 episodes left. 17, 18, 19, 20. We have 4 episodes left. Yeah. You know,
I think that they could have if they had planned to do this, they could have given him more of a struggle that was more obvious. But that's my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my opinion.
Well, I accept your wrong opinion.
You can disagree.
We can move on.
Okay.
All right, but let's talk about that fight.
I respectfully disagree. Let's talk about the fight.
The fight was really good. I wrote it's Man of Steel light.
Mm,
you know, because you were right. Take her out of the city.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Take her out of the city. Why is that so hard? Why does that? I mean, I guess somebody's fighting. Like, if we were fighting in this room right now and I, like, need to try to take you out of the room. Like,
right. I'm fighting back. It's hard.
That's
yeah.
much harder than it looks. It's not like people stop. Like, oh, no, we're flying. I guess I'll just wait till we get to the destination that you want me to go to. You know?
Right.
There is an inertia struggle and all of that stuff. And so that I understand. But when they scaled up the skyscraper,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, oh yeah, that's people's offices,
yeah,
and that's janitors and you know, mm-hmm. stuff like mm-hmm. that, and who knows, maybe there wasn't anybody. The building actually did look empty, or I mean the lights were off, I think, if I recall correctly, but still I'm like, ah, property damage, that's never gonna yeah. help anybody's cause. Property damage never helps anybody.
No.
Except the people who have to repair it and make money.
Correct.
It helps those people. Property damage, those people are like, yay, we get to work on Monday.
Wait, what's it called? Like the
damage control.
Damage control.
Yeah,
Marvel.
Marvel damage control, coming to ABC.
Yeah.
So Jean, let's talk about that. So Jean is he goes down, he puts his hand on his shoulders and hands on his head, and he gets captured. And the senator is, you know,
I wanted to believe in you. You
yeah,
were
blah, blah, blah. And now I don't know what to
you
believe.
You were my brother, Atticus.
You were my crush, Hank.
Yeah.
I had mild feelings towards you.
Yes. And she asks him, like, is Hank Henshaw dead? Did you kill him?
Yes, and that was really interesting. And obviously, you know, silence, I plead the fifth, whatever. Like, yeah, obviously you did. But it's definitely one of those, if you don't kill me, I'm going to... My mm-hmm. body is a bomb, mm-hmm. and I will kill millions of people if
the
you don't kill
lava.
Me right now.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly.
It's like it's more. The situation is a lot more nuanced than that.
Mm-hmm.
If he just comes out and says, "Like, well, yeah, I did," but you know, then it's like,
yeah, that "but" is never going to be heard.
No,
so you might as well not say anything.
Right.
Although he could just say no. I mean,
there is that, but he
like,
has to
did you?
Truth.
Yeah, did you kill him? No. All right, well, we have no evidence to prove this contrary.
Right.
So what do we do now? Alex comes in. Well, I've known for like a few weeks that this has been happening, and he's a really good guy, and he's like my second alien dad and stuff, so we should just like let him go. And everyone's like, well, she's the only other person who works here, so we might as well listen to her. Yeah.
Just threw him.
Yep, that's right.
Here at the startup.
Problem solved. Nailed it. Yep.
I like to call him a space dad.
See, this is why we don't write television, because the show would be over so quickly. Yeah. Because we would come to logical conclusions about things.
How terrible would the show be if they took all of our advice? Like, if everything that we're like, I think it should be this way and that way, like, it would actually be a really bad show.
It would be terrible. Oh, my God, no. Because half the stuff we say is just jokes anyway.
Well, that's
so,
true, yes.
So it's hard to determine what is the real advice and what is the joke, you know, and so on from there. I thought Supergirl's remorse was done very, you know, like she bawled. And she didn't even cry at the girl for the girl who has everything. You know, this was a, you know, it was awful. These are all the terrible things, and I couldn't stop myself, and all the, you know, blah blah blah. It was really, really moving.
She was really devastated. She was really devastated by everything that she did and said, and she wanted like an apology tour.
Well, she's,
you know,
like basically a prisoner in her own body, like, right?
Yeah,
like,
really.
She's not.
Yeah.
She basically is not in control of her own actions.
Yeah,
it's so
very true.
It's like a weird possession of some kind.
Sort of, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is its own kind of therapy, you know. So I really did feel for her, but like But like Alex's breakdown with killing Astra, I thought Alex's response was very good. You know, we need to work through this.
We need to be better than
what we were before, mm-hmm. because we are the heart of the show.
Yes.
And it relies on us to continue forward and stuff.
But it was a very mature response from her, like, okay, I forgive you, but some of what you said, I think you meant a little bit, and we need to work through it like mm-hmm. adults do, like right. friends, like family do. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah. You know, we're not going to let this slide, but we can be better than this, mm-hmm. both mm-hmm. of us. So it's real good. And so Kara goes back to work, right? And we know she's back at her normal self because she's wearing really weird pants. And I stopped the television. I was like, what are you wearing?
She's got those pants
child?
In every color. She's
no,
yes.
They weren't regular khaki pants. They were like this weird, like, lycra.
They were not lycra.
Yeah. They were like this weird, like, faux leather lycra thing. It was dumb. All right, we're going to go back and watch the last 10 minutes of this episode.
They were like gray.
I promise you. No. They were gray. Yes, they absolutely were gray. But they were like this weird, pleathery, faux leather nonsense.
Let's watch it.
And it was weird. Because, I watched with Palmer.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are with those pants? Not saying it out loud, he turns to me and goes, what is she wearing? And I'm like, yeah, all right, at least it's not just me.
Okay.
But like you said, you don't notice the costumes.
I don't. It's true.
So, Shikara basically gets the reverse win effect, right?
Yeah, she goes to James and she's all like, I would be jealous of anybody who, you know, you love because I...
Don't finish that sentence. My name is Makad Brooks and I am too handsome to be in love with anybody right now.
That is true.
I need to work through things, Kara.
And by work through things, I mean at the gym with my six-pack.
With my six-pack. That is probably going to become an eight-pack by the time I leave today.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am James Olsen, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, photojournalist. Hey.
Yeah. He's all like, listen, I can't... same thing Alex said. Some of what you said was true. I can't really deal with some of this right now. I need some time. I'm not ready for this. Nope, not right now. Even though we know that he clearly has some of the same feelings towards her, he's just not ready to explore that yet.
Well, I mean, she basically threw herself at him.
Yeah.
And... like, she was like, no, mm-hmm. like, no, mm-hmm. this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe even the feelings maybe aren't the way he thought, or, you know, maybe he's like, maybe I just need to be my own person right now because I didn't treat Lucy well. So what's to say I want to treat Kara well?
I think that's more. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think he's figuring out who he is and what he's like in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
you know, what he's like as a boyfriend before he can be that again.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was going to say, going back to the episode, what this show does, I think, really well. We've talked about this. Like, my favorite moments are, you know, Alex and Kara just talking, whatever else. In the beginning of this episode, they're talking about these relationship woes in the DEO. They're just strolling down a hallway, and she's in Supergirl regalia, and she's just like, you know, like boys and stuff. And Alex is like, I know boys. I mean, maybe it's just boys and boys, and, you know. And I'm just like, this is the heart of the show right here.
Yeah.
This is great. This is, you know, like, she's just. The Supergirl outfit is not like, she doesn't stand, you know, like, she doesn't really even stand much different. She's like, she is who she is, and they're close to her. And I like that because it makes it feel more authentic and real. It's good.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that aspect. But so Kara's had kind of a beating, you know.
Yeah.
She had this thing with Alex, and then she's had this kind of breakdown with James. And so the next person on the list is Kat.
Right.
She's just kind of sitting there solemnly. In solitude, and Kat kind of repeats her inspiration to her, which I thought was really nice. You know, no hugging or anything like that, but there was a nice blended moment between the two of them, and very melancholy kind of ending. You know, they have an interesting kind of palling around side to them. So I don't know. It was an interesting end to the episode. It was a roller coaster of emotions. It was not overly action, or it was not an action-oriented show. It was emotionally orienting, I guess. You know, lots of broken alcohol bottles with peanuts, you know.
Like from Superman 3, like
that was
right out of Superman 3.
Superman 3, that was awesome. I loved it.
Literally side-by-side comparison, exactly the same.
Cool. Wow, deep Superman 3. I hope someone doesn't turn into a creepy computer scary lady, because I still have nightmares about the end of that movie. The thing is
horrifying.
That movie may be worse than Superman 4. I can't decide what's worse.
I'm pretty sure that it is.
Yeah.
At least Superman 4 knows what it is, I think.
Yeah. It was really just a Richard Pryor vehicle. Like, that's really all it was.
For
it was,
his coke. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I think he only did it for the money for coke.
That's ridiculous.
I have heard that.
Yeah, I have.
I have read that he, like, is it a paycheck? Cool.
Cool. I can buy more coke. I'm Richard Pryor. With the weather machine.
It was such a bad
movie. Trying to do so much.
I like Richard Pryor. Like, Richard Pryor's stand-up is great, but like, oh,
he's hysterical,
but
bad movie. Oh, bad movie.
Gus Gorman. So that conversation with Kat, it was some of the, you know, we say that Alex and Kara are the heart of the show, but in a lot of ways, this relationship with Kat is in some ways the heart of the show, because that's where a lot of the empowerment stuff comes mm-hmm. from. You know, her Alex is like her rock, right? The person she can rely on and count on, and who's always there for her in the worst times. And then Kat is like her mentor and the person who will uplift her and inspire mm-hmm. her.
That's right.
And, you know, kind of girl power, like you can do this, you're a woman, you're strong, you're amazing, you can do this type of thing. I'm not sure to what extent Kat realizes that she is that role model for...
Kat's smart lady. I'm pretty sure that she knows.
Yeah, yeah.
She wouldn't have talked to her the way that she talked to her that way. But, I mean, she even says, like, you know, like, I've base jumped off of Mount Kilimanjaro. You know, like, yeah, I was scared, but yeah, okay, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
At the same time. So, I think Kat is fully aware of who she is in Supergirl's life. She is... Kat doesn't miss a lot.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, the only reason that she's still fooled by Supergirl and Kara is because she saw them both in the same place at the same time.
That's true.
As any normal human would be like, oh, well, I guess I was wrong, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. So thus endeth this episode.
Yes.
So you can find us in all the places Frank's going to tell us about before we talk trailer.
Wait, before we do that.
And Cat Grant Quote of the Week. What was your Cat Grant Quote
of the
Week?
Mine was the one you just said, Kilimanjaro.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I thought that was the one that stood out to me the most. Why? You had a different one?
I did have a different one.
Good. I like when we have different ones.
That's breaking tradition.
Yes.
Well,
hold on. The full quote there was, oh, please, I base jump Kilimanjaro. Do you really think you scared me? Okay, well, yes, you did scare me. Which I thought was great. You did scare me, but... Did you write down one?
I did. I just can't read my writing. Okay. So my quote comes from the conversation, the Siobhan firing, and she said, okay. I had a far too long conversation with Perry White about this, and that's, I just like the far too long conversation, like, it's just like, Perry White is a talker, and I the fact that I spent 30 seconds on the phone with him was beyond anything that I could stand, and which is the real reason why I fired you.
That's really
because
funny.
I had to talk to Perry White. That was my favorite.
That's a good line.
Yeah, this one... I mean, our Cat Grant quote of the weeks tend to be more of like, what funny thing did Cat
say?
Yes,
yes.
You know, but it really, if I dug into it, I think what she said about Supergirl would definitely make that list.
Okay.
But you know what? The funny lines are easy to write down because they're one-liners.
They're quippy.
That's why they become quotes of the week.
Here's the other thing. So, okay, your spin on the quote of the week is like, not something that she said that was funny, but something she said that was inspiring. My spin on the quote of the week is... not a quote from Cat Grant, but a quote about Cat Grant when Maxwell Lord says, oh, please, Cat has 9 lives.
That was funny.
I like that one, too.
I did like that one. Like, I'm not even worried about that. She has not.
Well, she killed Miss Grant? Oh, please, Cat has 9 lives.
That was my favorite. That was the best. Yeah. Oh, great stuff. So anyway, where can the people find us?
Well, before we talk about the trailer, you can find us at Supergirl TV Talk. On Gmail, supergirltvtalk.com, at TV Supergirl on Twitter. You can leave us reviews and ratings. You know, even if you don't want to write a whole review, that's okay. You can just leave us a 5-star rating, and we would love you just as much, whether that's on iTunes, whether it's a star on Overcast, whether that's on the Satchel Player or any other place where great podcasts are found. Any of those, we would appreciate it, and we will love you forever.
Indeed.
Any final thoughts before we hit the trailer?
No, John Jones' face looked great this episode.
It did.
It looked really good.
Mocap. Now we know. It was mocap.
Yeah, nice behind-the-scenes photo.
So
we saw a photo behind the scenes
where he's wearing the costume, but he's got the motion cap dots on his face.
He's got the dots on his face. Yeah, looked awesome this episode.
Did.
Yeah, I was really excited for it. Okay, so let's talk this trailer. Not a lot really was shown.
No, but I do like that we're dealing with the consequences of this episode, that we're going to, like, now she has to redeem herself.
Yep.
Public doesn't trust her anymore. Which is exactly what Max Lord wanted.
Do you think she's going to get redeemed by the end of the next episode?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I
yeah.
think so.
Oh, she saved us again. Great. We're very fickle people in National City.
Yes. Well, I feel like they have to wrap this up in enough time.
For the Flash to show up.
Well, for the Flash to show up, that's a good point, yes. But also for the finale, like, to feel earned, like, whatever she does. Like, listen, I don't know what happens in the finale. I haven't read spoilers.
Right.
Yet, but... it's reasonable to assume that she will save National City in some major way, or there'll be a cliffhanger or something like that, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And in order for her to save the city and for it to count and matter, she has to be in everyone's good side again.
Right. No.
So I think she will have to be redeemed. And yes, the Flash is coming the week after that, so we know that she pretty much has to be.
Right.
So, yeah, that's perfectly, perfectly logical.
Yes, I agree. And we get some Siobhan hates her action, yeah. You know, in the trailer, so we're going to be seeing some Silver Banshee pretty soon, I would imagine. Well, we're definitely actually the next couple of weeks for
sure.
We
know,
yeah, so that's exciting news, and we'll see you next time.
Yes, we will see you next time, but until then, up and away.